Do 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 do. Game time. Do 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 do. Win a major. Do 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 do. Save every op. Obviously, eSportsBet are still running their classic first-time deposit bonus for crypto of 50% up to 200 USDT. In case you're wondering, is there any CSGO to bet on, North Orin? Didn't the major just finish? Don't worry about it. There is tons of CSGO to bet on. They have everything from Blast, you can already bet on, which is in a week. They've got the CCT, that smaller tournament I was talking about with Heckle, on Snake and Banter. They've got the Dust Thule. They've got the Elisa Masters Espoo, which has a bunch of the top teams in, including teams from the major, like Big, etc. They have ESEA Advanced. They have these ESL Challenger Leagues. You keep going down. They have Gamers Club, which looks like some sort of Spanish tournament or something by the looks of it, maybe Brazilian itself. Girl Gamer Esports Festival. They have loads of esports to bet on, is the point. Outsiders lived up to their name by winning IEM Rio, the major, as a dark horse out of nowhere, basically. No one had them winning this major before it began. They only lost one map in their whole playoff run. They lost two best of ones other than that at the major, one in the Challenger stage to Mouse, and they lost one in the Legend stage to Heroic. One of the craziest winners we've ever had, but one of the weakest playoff brackets we've ever had. There was obviously the whole weird scenario where the crowd could be there sometimes and could be noisy. Sometimes they didn't give a fuck and weren't really there. Other times they were there, but then didn't make any sense. Oh, it was all over the place, obviously. I will say, if you had actually have bet on Outsiders to win the major before the tournament began, the odds that eSportsBet were offering in their outright section, which remember, you go there, you don't go into the game CSGO, you scroll all the way to the bottom for outright, and they were actually at the time offering 25-1 on Outsiders to win. So if you had indeed have thought they could have won, would have been a crazy bet to make, right? Now, before the tournament, I don't think there's any way you could look at this team and say they would win the major. They were a good upset team. I've bet on them so many times myself, on my shows, on my Twitter, when they're an underdog. Like, I love it when people price them way too high because they think, like, oh, this isn't a top team, they shouldn't be able to win. I love betting them as an underdog because they have just a style that is just way more difficult to work with. It's not about the skill of their players. If you can't handle their style, you're gonna have a tricky time with it, no matter what, no matter how much better your AWPer is or how much better your raw rifle players are, etc. Now, you look at the tournaments they had. Look, they had an up and down bag. Like at EPL, look, they almost beat Vitality, the team that eventually won the tournament. They actually should have aged better than it probably had. And the RMR, they looked a bit ropey because they got beat straight up by Na'Vi, which is to be expected. But then they lost to OG in a best of three. Okay, that can sow a little bit of doubt. All OG really has is firepower. They went 3-2 over that Swiss system. Then at ESL Rotterdam, they won the tournament. They lost to BO1 to Ence, but whatever. And then they beat Mouse 2-1 in the semis, and they beat Ence 2-0 in the final. The key thing for me about this team was they were always a team with a unique style coming from Jamie's idiosyncrasies as a player, but also how he's decided to play Counter-Strike. A lot of late-game decision-making and a lot of like key calls with not many seconds left that you have to all be on the same page for. So as far as I can tell, he's doing a very good job as an IGL. They were a team that shows cohesion and together. Of the aforementioned style would not work, and especially not as often as it does. I think Jame is much better than he used to be as both an AWPer and an IGL. As an IGL, he's one of the best in the world right now. As an AWPer, he's still not one of the best for my money, but he's good. He still has some problems when he saves. Like, the joke is, I love it when he gets trapped and can't save. He actually has to go for the 1v2s, and he's pretty good at winning them, right? Fame is a breakout star and already was before the tournament, but who knew how he'd hold up at a major, his first ever. Flit is a legit fragger, but even then, he's never been considered on the level of some of the Na'Vi players, for example, even though, ironically, he was supposed to join Na'Vi before they got Perfecto. And then I would also say, I did have them as my mega underdog, if you go watch my piece for Esports Bet, but that was as in, the teams I thought were like likely to win were obviously FaZe, Na'Vi, Vitality, they're the big ones. Then I had Cloud9 as my dark horse, because I don't think on paper they were supposed to win, but they were the dark horse. And then for me, unless you wanted to take some crazy flyer on an NIP or something, I wasn't, you know, on Team Liquid, etc. For me, it was at that point in time Outsiders, just because of the style of play they had, and if they got lucky with the right bracket, and guess what? They certainly did in both regards. The major itself, I don't think there were any real signs at any point that they could win this major until the playoffs began. Because I think at that point in time, you had to favour Na'Vi, then probably Cloud9, maybe even an outside World for a Heroic or a Furia. I don't think you had the outsiders, guys. Like, I had them on paper as my third most likely to win, but they shouldn't have won on paper. Like, if they played against Na'Vi or Cloud9, they would have actually been favoured to be the underdog and probably lose. Let's see whether that would have happened. Who knows? I personally think if they played Na'Vi in the final, they would lose. So, once the top slash elite teams were eliminated, now it got very interesting, because now any team that lacks experience and has any stage issues or has a hard time playing really tight games, that was exactly the sort of team that's going to be weak to outsiders. So as soon as that happened, soon basically as Cloud9 got eliminated and then Na'Vi got eliminated in the first round, then yes, they became the favourite to win the major, and that's why I bet on them from there on out and was able to win a nice amount. I bet 5k for the final and they were like 2.0. They were the underdog against the Rock. I got doubled up my money. Now, when you look at the tournament itself, they beat Fnatic easily, but you know what? They'd already beaten them very easily earlier on the tournament. Fnatic, probably one of the weaker teams to make top 8 at a major. Then they beat Mouse in the three maps in the semi-finals, almost 2-0'd them, by the way, with that overpass. Like, yes, they lost to them earlier on, but then they'd already beaten them in a best of three to qualify to the playoffs. I do actually think that that was kind of a whack game overall. I don't think Mouse was truly in it. I don't think their players really stood up on stage. I think they just managed to use the crowd. Or maybe the crowd worked against Cloud9 and Cloud9 chalked against them. I think Mouse is one of the weaker teams to have made top four a major in history, including up there with the Avangard of a couple of years back, right? In 2019. They beat Heroic 2-0 in the final. To me, that was fairly obvious, because even though Heroic matched up well in the map pool and in player-wise and style-wise was an interesting analogue, had some similarities and certainly looked like they were also a team in great form, everything coming together. The difference is, when you looked at it, first of all, I do think the map pool has started to get better and better and better as the tournament's gone on for outsiders. And then crucially, winning on Overpass the way they did, you just saw Heroic break again, just like they did at the beginning of the series against Furia, but they just were able to come it in that one. You were able to overcome it against the outsiders. And Overpass, to win on Overpass was so poetic for the way that this tournament the last few months have gone. Because one of the things they've done in the outsiders team is stop just always picking fucking Inferno, moved away from that, and now they're even allowing Overpass way higher in the rotation of maps that they're willing to play. And so you saw them establish it at this tournament. They were able to beat IHC, Vitality, Fnatic, Mouse. Now, some of those teams are big name teams. The latter two made the playoffs, and Vitality won Pro League a few months ago and was like third or fourth best team in this tournament coming into it. So to me, not only did they not pick Inferno, they let other people pick it or go to a decider, and they quite frankly looked a little bit better on Inferno, but the fact that they were able to bring in the Overpass and then have a Mirage, the other maps that we all know, they might play the Ancients every now and then, Vertigo's. Actually, their map pool looked pretty sturdy by the end, because for me, it's about their style. If their style works, it works on most of the maps. If their style doesn't or someone underperformed, then yeah, it falls apart, and even on maps they're supposed to be strong on, they won't win. That's why, spoiler, I'm not picking the win big tournaments after this. I think this is a one and done for this team, unless it's a smaller tournament. If they're the tournaments with the big three or top three or four teams in the world there, I don't think outsiders is winning them. So crucially for me, they held together well as a team while Heroic didn't. Heroic really looked like they chalked it away on that second map and looked like mentally they were already busted, exerted from the day before, etc. Meanwhile, outsiders just kept rolling and just kept the pressure up, and that was sort of so great. Jim called some excellent CSGO at this tournament. Like, quite frankly, having Yekindar leave and then all those bullshit narratives go with Yekindar to Team Liquid that haven't borne out whatsoever. He has not brought any of the style of outsider slash Virtus Pro to Team Blink. What sort of whack take is that? He's just a really skilled young player, by the way, who still hasn't got it together in terms of being amazing at majors, who's really good at entrying. Doesn't even, by the way, just pure entry all the time, but just knows how to get his openings and give a bit of conditioning to the opponent and watch a couple of demos to see a few spots and throw some nice flashes and do some FPL plays. This guy wasn't doing any of the shit in Team Liquid that James has done in this team. This team looks really well IGL'd. I actually think him and Cadian both did an excellent job at this tournament. That's why their teams were in the final. I think, quite frankly, this is the best tournament all around from James as an IGL and an AWP and an individual player. I don't think I've ever seen him play better overall. That's why he was winning clutches. That's why he was having great halves. He wasn't even having to do too many of those arsehole saves that he used to do that pissed everyone off back in the day. Fame didn't buckle at all in the tournament, which was very impressive. Almost everyone else had at least a series or a map and a half where they just came off the boil a little bit. This guy was just going the whole way through. If it wasn't for the fact Jame IGL'd the game as well, Fame would have been the MVP. It was a very legit 1A, 1B type conversation. And then, quite frankly, they got a very easy bracket. They played Fnatic, Mouse, and then Heroic to win a major. I mean, you can't ask for better than that. Any other major you're going to be playing, like Vitality, FaZe Clan, Na'Vi, Team Liquid, who else could it even be? Cloud9, Furia. Like, these are all other teams you could play. Like, I don't think you could ask for a better bracket than that. Hence why, even though they won it in dominant fashion, I actually don't think this was such a crazy major win, beyond how cool the story is. Now, EsportsBet is still doing their up to 100 USDT bet forgiveness, where what you do is, if it's your first time betting with crypto on the site, if you lose it, then go to the Discord, discord.gg/esportsbet, message the mod mill, tell them Thorin or Last Free Nation sent you, and they will credit your account with up to 100 USDT, depending on how much you bet for that particular bet. Spoiler, I would say pick an underdog like an Outsiders in a matchup where they have good odds too, 2.5, 3. That way, if you win, you make way more anyway. And if you lose, you get the money back anyway, don't you? Now, probably the craziest thing about Outsiders winning the major, when you just look at it big picture, is not just like Fame's a major champion, Norbert is a major champion, KK, like, that's crazy in itself. But you look earlier in the year, they had a better lineup on paper. They had Buster, who's always been one of the core players for years and years and years and years. You had Yekindar, who was a very good player in that team, looked like he was a key element of why they were so good. On paper, they were better. They just didn't perform better. And even though actually, like, it was still up and down as to how good the scene was in terms of parity, yeah, they were underwhelming with that lineup. You would think once Yekindar left, the whole team's dead and it's done for. Quite frankly, I don't look at the Futures team. I think it's a world beater. It's going to be a top team. They're not going to have a dynasty or an era. No, let's not be silly. Like, forget about them winning that Grand Slam challenge. That's not even happening. There's no way the firepower continues at the level it did here. They were 1.15 as a team after winning the whole major, and then three of their players were in the top five of the tournament. Three players had over 1.24. I think Jame was like 1.35 or something. These numbers aren't happening again. Like, Fame could hit those numbers again. Jame's not going to hit those numbers with any regularity. People like Flit, they could be around that, but that's a very good tournament for them. I think this is just way too high. There's no way Norbert's playing the way he did at this tournament. They're going to play better opponents in future competitions. People are going to get a better sense of their map pool. Actually, once you've played them a bunch of times, people will start to get the odd fluky win over them, even when their style works. Like, it's just not going to continue. They're very good. Like, they're a really cool team to watch. I like to follow them. I think I like to enjoy watching them in the same as I enjoyed watching Ents in 2019. They shouldn't really be able to take on all these big teams, but they do, and they do it with their style and from the IGL and with less firepower sometimes. That's really cool as an angle to watch for and see tactically what they're doing. It's just, it's not plausible. I think they're going to rack up loads of trophies. They did get the Blast invite thanks to winning this tournament. By the way, how silly does that look now? I know it's about business, but the idea that the reigning major world champions are not a Blast partner team, and therefore next year they're going to face what Gambit had when Gambit was number one in 2021. You're the number one team in the world, but you have to keep going through those weird online qualifiers into Blast showdowns to possibly get into a tournament that features Complexity and Evil Geniuses, for example. Like, yeah, that is a bit whack, isn't it? Now, the VP org angle's an interesting one, because technically is that whole thing where supposedly VP's like being bought out by someone else and registered somewhere else. In theory, they can go back to being called Virtus Pro, right? Which is an interesting approach. Let's see if that happens, because obviously the problem right now, as far as I know, is ESL and Blast both refuse to work with Virtus Pro until whatever conditions are met, which is, who knows about any of that angle. Now then, one thing I do know about is you can still get 50,000 DGT if you want to play for free on the EsportsBet website in the World's Prediction Series 2 competition, a 10 million USDT tournament. Win up to 300,000 USDT. Just message the mod mill on the aforementioned Discord, discord.gg/esportsbet. Say you want the 50,000 DGT and get a 50 times head start on where most people were starting in that competition.
I'm Device from Astralis, and welcome to Foreign's YouTube channel. It's a choke-free zone.
This video was kindly supported by Ahmed Haju, Hades Good, Matt Pugnacio Rakula, Animosity, Butt Pounder 420, Jensen Gore, Kovacevic, Ord, Tobias Bernasconi, Tosh, Toucan, and as always, special thanks goes out to my main man, Jerky's Minion. Would you like to suggest a topic or a guest for my upcoming content? Maybe you want to ask a question in my monthly AMA. Would you like teasers to find out who the guests are for upcoming interviews and shows? Maybe you want to take part in one of those lengthy esports discussions with me that can go all over the place. Well, if so, put your money where your mouth is and join the Scrilluminati today, where? In the description box below, there's a Patreon link.